You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and you are on the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you not just save your marriage, but transform your marriage. No matter where you are in the midst of your marriage, sometimes I have this belief that, you know, when you are even having a good marriage, you ought to be working on saving your marriage to keep any problems from popping up down the road. So it's a continual process. It's a continual process of learning, of growing, of developing, of becoming more and more of the person you want to be in your marriage. And as you do that, of transforming your marriage for having it to become more and more of the relationship that you cherish within your marriage. So this is an amazing time to be able to learn so much about how to transform yourself and your relationship because of all the resources on the internet. Imagine this. You're sitting here listening to a podcast that I decided to put together to help you, and you found it on the internet free of charge, and you can listen to it at your leisure. There has been no time in history when you could take that kind of information and turn it into something that would help you. Now, just to remind you, if you are looking for more ways of saving your marriage and are really looking for a plan on how to do that, I want to invite you to grab my system, my Save the Marriage system. This is a system that's designed to help you step through the process of not just stopping a divorce, not stopping a legal process, not just kind of keeping together a relationship, but of truly transforming your relationship. If you're ready to do that, if you haven't already gotten the system, let me invite you to do that as a way of beginning the process of really building into it. And then this is going to all make a lot more sense as you listen to the podcast with that as a background. So that being said, let me go ahead and tell you some about what we want to talk about today. Today, I want to talk about three ways that you can improve your marriage starting right now, this instant, next 5 minutes. These are sure ways of changing not just your relationship, but your life. And so I want you to kind of listen and hear this as a challenge, as a growth point, as an opportunity. And let me give you a little secret. All three of these have places for growth for everyone. For everyone, no matter how good your relationship or how bad your relationship, these three pieces can literally transform your life, your personal relationships, how you relate to the world, and how you relate to your spouse. And so as you begin to think about this, I want you to plug it in and say, you know what, there is a growth point for me. Because even as I was thinking about this process, I was also thinking about how does it apply to me? How do I need to do these three things more and more in my relationship? And so part of what we all want to do is say we're on a growth path. We're on a way of learning and of trying to transform ourselves moment by moment, day by day. That's what life is about. I mean, if you look at kind of nature, that's even the path of nature. You know, many people talk about evolution, and in some ways, evolution is simply a process of improving upon what's already there. And so that same process that you can see in nature, in the way that children develop, in the way that organisms develop, it's always about moving to the next level, a next stage. You know, if you look at a small child is not sitting there going, how do I make myself better? I think I'm going to go ahead and walk. I think I'm going to go ahead and run. They just take the next step. And here's the cool thing about kids. If they fail the first time, they get up and do it again. You know, I've never seen a child say, geez, you know, I tried that walking thing that one time and it just didn't work out for me, so I guess it's just not my thing. Or, you know, I tried that running thing one time and I kind of stumbled and fell, so I think I'm just going to not do that. Or, you know, I tried that running thing and it felt really awkward, really felt strange. I couldn't figure out how to get it going. My feet just didn't feel coordinated. And I'm sure I looked funny to everybody, and so I'm just not going to do that. No, kids just say, you know what? I want to run. I want to walk. I want to crawl. I want to run. I want to talk. And they keep on trying. And we adults need to learn the lesson that there's always a place for us growing into a new place. I want to tell you a little bit of a story about a client that I was talking to, and she was just beside herself. She said, you know, I've tried this and I've tried that and I've tried this and I've tried that and I'm exhausted. So clearly this relationship is not meant to be. And I asked her if she, looking back on those attempts to change, if she really felt like she'd been 100% behind it. She said, well, you know, I was really waiting for him to kind of kick in and for him to get started. And so, you know, I would kind of try a couple of things and he wouldn't do anything. And so, you know, I just kind of back off and decide to do something different. And my response to her was, when you do that, all you do is create a pattern of confusion in your relationship. And she told me that she had been trying to do a lot of these little techniques to her husband. You know, she'd tried to use these communication tricks, and she tried to make him a little jealous, and she tried to turn him on a little bit. And she'd done all of these kind of exterior, surfacey approaches to changing the relationship, and he had rebuffed her at each step. And part of what I wanted to let her know was, you know, as I was listening to her, I was noticing some other pieces for her. And as she talked, I asked her if she was recognizing the fact that she was truly seething with anger. And she said she was surprised, and she said, "What do you mean?" And I kind of pointed out a couple of places. Now I've often pointed this out to people. In fact, I've pointed out in several coaching sessions with people about how their own internal place of being was kind of emanating into their relationship, was emanating into the world. And what I responded was, I might be able to put my finger on it, you know, consciously, but I can guarantee you the people around you are noticing this subconsciously. They're reading this and they're seeing a barrier. They're seeing a way they can't get close. They're seeing a way that even though you might say, I want to be in a relationship with you, everything about your essence is, I'm angry with you and I'm pushing you away. So what I wanted to talk about today are three things that you can use as a platform, as stepping stones in how you can address your relationship. Now, I'll tell you that these are all three interrelated. And I'll also tell you that these aren't little techniques, right? These are ways of changing your essence and your approach. Now, I wanted to lay this as a framework because in the future, next week and other weeks, I want to talk some more about some applicability pieces to how do you do things? How do you begin to kind of put some pieces together? For instance, next week, I want to talk about how you can use a personality platform, how four ways that people are kind of naturally in the world, the four personalities. And I want to use that as a way of thinking about how you communicate with your spouse. But I want to create a space before we get to those kind of techniques of what I think has to be there. The failure of lots of techniques is because of who the person is that's trying to do those techniques. You know, if somebody has decided that they just have to be upbeat, and so I'm going to point to my client I was talking with where she had decided that a part of her change in life was just to be a happy person, an upbeat person, and always on top of the world. But in reality, below it, she was so angry at the world, at her family, at her spouse. Everything around her was upsetting her, and she felt like it had been unfair. But somebody along the way said, act upbeat. And I'm all for being upbeat, and I'm all for being happy, and I'm all for being you kind of all you can be, but not faking it. Now, sometimes we have to kind of act that way in order to get there. But when we are the exact opposite of that, and so what comes out, you know, for her was a smile, and behind the smile was snarling teeth. So when we're that far apart, that's a difference. For instance, I often tell people, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling down and frustrated, then you do need to act happy and kind of smile some and maybe listen to some upbeat music and not allow yourself to kind of wallow in that place. So, see, that's when you're kind of at a down point and you want to get to a higher point. That's a changing your vibration. But what she was doing was trying to act as if she was not angry, and act as if she was not disappointed, and act as if several other little emotions weren't there, all pretending to be loving and accepting and connecting. And that's a tough one to do. So I suggested to her that she try three steps to improve her marriage. And those three steps were not about technique, not about pretending, but about transforming the way she was acting in the world and who she was in the world. Okay, so let's talk about the first piece of that. I asked her if she would show up differently. And so Gretchen was really struggling with what I meant by that. Gretchen said, "What do you mean show up? I'm always there. You know, I when it's time to be somewhere, I'm Johnny on the spot." And I said, no. That's just being present. It's not about showing up. It's about your body being there. But when your husband is talking to you, are you really there? Are you really present? Or are you going through your list of all the things that he's doing that are frustrating you, or all the things you need to do? Or are you trying to multitask in the process? You know, I see this place, and I notice it more and more in the world, where people, their bodies show up, but they don't show up. The other night we were at dinner at a restaurant, and I looked over at one table. And it was a husband and wife and a son and daughter. And the husband and wife were both on their phones looking at something. And the two kids were on their phones looking at something. So all four people at their tables had their iPhones out. And I have nothing against an iPhone. My iPhone is sitting right beside me right now. But while they had an opportunity to be a family, you know, here they were. They had taken their time to go out to dinner. It was a pretty nice restaurant. And they had taken their time to be there. They had taken their time to dress up and to look nice. And nobody had to worry about the dishes. Nobody had to worry about making the dinner. Everybody had a chance just to be with each other. And instead, they were with whoever was on the other end of that phone. As I kind of got up, I noticed that the daughter was on Facebook. The son was on Twitter. The husband was looking at news. And the mother, I couldn't quite tell what she was looking at, but it was like a blog or something. And they were all doing something else. Now, every now and then, one would laugh and say, "Hey, look at this," and show a video or something to the other person. But they weren't showing up to each other. They weren't being present with each other. They weren't listening. They weren't attending to. They really were acting like, you know, four kind of strangers that happened to be at a table. And I noticed at one point that the mother tried to start a conversation with the two kids. The husband was deeply involved in whatever he was doing on there, and the two kids couldn't be interrupted. And so I just kind of watched to see how it would play out. And so a couple of minutes later, she had tried, and they kind of, you know, they had spoken without really noticing what they were saying. They had kind of mindlessly responded, and she got frustrated, so she went back to her phone. And then I noticed that the son started trying to have a conversation and got the same response. And I noticed that the daughter tried to have a conversation and got the same response. Nobody was showing up to the relationship. So what does it mean to show up? It means that you're fully present, that you are really invested and involved in listening to that person and responding to the person where they are, not with your agenda, but with where that person is. That's how we show up. And we show up with some energy. You know, we don't show up trying to say, "Oh, things are so horrible. Let me tell you how horrible my life is." Right? That's when we are trying to take energy away. Now, that doesn't mean we don't ever share. It's just that sometimes we get trapped into that. And what I notice in the midst of a marriage crisis is that many people get trapped in what I call crisis talk, where all they want to talk about is how they're feeling, and not just not in any positive way, but how they're feeling in negative ways and how they're frustrated and angry and all those other pieces. And so on and on that conversation can go, so that everybody is getting pulled into it. Because I will tell you that emotions are contagious, and we catch negative emotions much easier than we catch positive emotions. That when somebody is negative, it will pull people down faster than if somebody else is positive and upbeat. And so we have to kind of watch that, especially if we're trying to transform a marriage, that we want to bring positive energy into that relationship. Notice what often happens, though. When people are feeling hurt, are feeling angry and frustrated, they first of all stop showing up. You know, they create some space and some distance. And a lot of times that's as a demonstration of how badly they've been hurt. So they use it kind of as a passive-aggressive way of expressing their hurt. The second thing that happens is that they bring in negative emotions on a constant level. They're always looking for the bad stuff, and they're always critiquing and criticizing and always pleading and begging, all of which comes from a very negative place. So showing up is about changing that, of deciding that you're going to come at this in a different way. And you're going to come at this with positive feelings. And the way you're going to create the positive feelings is by the second and third step that we're going to talk about. So you don't look for the other person to change you. You decide to step into a new place, to change yourself and show up in the relationship. And the easiest way is to say, you know what? I'm going to be fully present. I'm not going to have an agenda on the conversation. I'm going to listen to what my spouse says and make sure my spouse feels understood. When a spouse feels understood, then there is a transformation that naturally happens in the relationship itself. There's a transformation of the connection between the two. And that really is what we're trying to do, is we're trying to get to a different way of connecting and of nurturing each other. Which brings us to number two, the second way you can improve your marriage right now, which is to take responsibility. And I know that this is going to need some unpacking, because when I say to people, you got to take responsibility, often they'll say, oh, so I've got to take the blame for everything. It's my fault for all of this happening. What you're saying is that I did that. And I'll tell you that Gretchen said the same thing. I said, Gretchen, you know, how are you taking responsibility for where your relationship is? And she said, this isn't my problem. This is my spouse's problem. And I said, whoa, now you're talking about blame. Blame is not the same as responsibility. Our culture has done a lot to confuse the two. Responsibility is, I mean, just the word, responsible, the ability, responsibility, the ability to respond, able to respond, response able. And that means that we are able to choose our response versus allowing our reactions to run the day, but we get to choose our response. And so it's saying, you know what? I am going to choose to make a difference in the relationship. I'm going to choose to break this chain. And I'll tell you that one of the chains that drags down a relationship anyway is the blame game. So nobody wants to be blamed, but everybody seems to want to blame and point a finger at why the other person is the reason this is on a track to failure. So responsibility is saying, how can I respond differently? How can I do things differently than I have in the past? Because the responses of both people have gotten you to this place. There is one person in this conversation that has an option to change in your relationship, and that is you. We can't ask or require your spouse to do that. Just practically speaking, it'd be nice if that were possible, but it's not possible. You're the one who's here. You're the one who's saying, what can I do to save my relationship? And so here's an interesting conundrum for me. Many times people come in and say, I am desperate to save my relationship. I want to get things different. That's exactly why Gretchen was in my office. I want things to be different is what she told me. I want to have my relationship back. And I said, okay, so you're here, right? And she said, yes. And I said, so you're ready for your relationship to be transformed? Yes. And I said, are you ready to take responsibility? And she immediately said, don't blame me. This is not about me. Something has to change. My husband has to change too. And I said, but he's not here. Gretchen, you're here. The opportunity to change is in your lap when you say, I'm going to choose to respond differently. I'm going to choose a different way of being in this relationship. So an analogy that I often use is about, you know, finding yourself in a burning building. If you find yourself in a burning building, the last question you need to ask is, who did this? Whose fault is this? The first question should be, what can I do to get myself out and to get my loved ones out? What can I do to change the outcome with those I love? And maybe there's a possibility that you'd even have a chance to change the outcome of, you know, the fact that you there's property you want to get. But one way or the other, you want to change how things are going on to move it to a different arena. And that's part of what I love about the Save the Marriage system is that people have the opportunity of saying, okay, I'm going to step up. I want to be different in the relationship. I want to take responsibility. Here's how I do it. I've got the building blocks to do that now. So let me give you one of those building blocks, which is the third thing you can do. The first thing is showing up, being fully present, really being invested in being there and being and taking energy into the relationship, not trying to pull energy out, but taking energy into the relationship. And the second thing is to say, how am I able to respond differently? What are my options on how I can respond differently going forward? The third one is to forgive and accept. Forgive and accept. Let's unpack that just for a minute. I think one of the very common errors people have about forgiveness is that forgiveness is somehow something you do for the other person. Because when I talk with people, they tell me the same thing. Gretchen was saying, you know, I pushed her about this forgiveness, and she was saying, why should I forgive my husband? He hasn't apologized. And my response is, it's not about should, it's about you could. You could decide to forgive him so that you don't have to carry the pain around. You could forgive him for the places that he fell short, that he might not even realize he fell short. You could forgive him for actions that hurt you so that you don't have to carry it around. I'll give you a little secret. People who choose not to show up because they're angry or frustrated, and they choose to not take responsibility but to cast blame, are the exact ones who have not chosen to forgive the other person. Forgiveness is not for the other person. It is for you, so you don't have to carry around the emotional baggage of the hurt and the pain. Forgiveness is a choice to let that go. It's a choice to decide not to be continually injured by that. It's not your task to hold on to that for the other person, because I will tell you, as many times as I've watched this, I've noticed that the person that they are refusing to forgive is rarely as injured by that lack of forgiveness as the person who chooses not to forgive. There's a saying that not forgiving is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other person to die. It doesn't work. The other person doesn't get the impact of that. Not like it does on your own body. And the second one is to accept. Accept that where the other person is where they are. And accept that what's happened is what happened. And accept that that other person has a uniqueness that's different than yours. But that doesn't mean wrong. Doesn't mean it has to be changed. And one of the things we often get wrapped around in marriage is trying to make that other person into who we want them to be rather than accepting them for who they are. So when we forgive and accept, we give a gift that allows the other person to be fully human, to be fully in the relationship and fully a part of a connection where we're partners. You know, we're in it together. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about Gretchen. Gretchen and I struggled with this week after week. Finally, one day she came in and she said, you know what? I've made a choice to forgive because this is too painful. I've got to forgive. And I said, great, that's step one. She said, wait, you told me that I could choose to forgive. I said, yes, you can choose to forgive, but the process is going to take some time because as it comes back up, you're going to have to remind yourself that you've forgiven. And you're going to have to decide that you're working to accept your husband for who your husband is, just like every other spouse needs to accept their spouse for who they are. Well, as she began to work through that, she began to forgive. And as she began to forgive and accept him, she began to take responsibility for the places that she could change the relationship, not taking responsibility for saving the entire relationship, but taking responsibility for where she could change the relationship. Suddenly, she realized that as she did that, she began to show up differently, that she was willing to be in the room with her husband, and she wasn't always trying to express her anger, and she wasn't always trying to hide her frustration. She was no longer seething and angry, and it wasn't leaking out. And so as that happened, the relationship began to thaw. And here's the irony. As she decided to take those three actions, her husband, without even a conscious decision, began to respond. And that's the magic of what happens when one person begins to change who they are and how they are in the relationship. It spreads to the other person. The other person can't help but be changed. I've often talked about this kind of like an algebra equation. You know, whenever you change one side of that equation, then the other side has to change too to keep it equal. And sometimes I think about it, and when I'm talking about that in my Save the Marriage program, I talk about it being like on a boat, on a sailboat. You know, when you lean out one way, the other person has to lean out the other way, and pretty soon you both are off balance. But if you slowly bring yourself back into balance, if you slowly begin to do these things, to show up, to take responsibility, forgive, and to accept your spouse, you begin to move towards the center of the boat. And then your spouse is drawn to the center of the boat, and the boat feels balanced, and the individuals feel balanced. And suddenly, the boat begins to move. And as it moves, then you can choose how you're going to direct that boat and build it into the relationship that you would love. Okay, so once again, the three ways to improve your marriage right now. Number one, show up. Be present. Be really invested. Bring your energy into the relationship. Number two, take responsibility. Decide that you can respond differently and that you can truly respond rather than react, and that you're going to be response-able, able to respond. Three, decide to forgive the hurts and the pains. Decide you don't have to carry them around all the time, and decide to accept your spouse as a part of that, because the reason that we're often hurt and holding on to things is because we want our spouse to be a different person. And as we begin to forgive, we also begin to accept. And we accept our pains that have happened. We accept the situation around us. And we end up accepting our spouse. Feeling accepted is a magnetic piece of the process. Okay, I hope that's been helpful. Hope you can begin to implement those today. If you need some help on how you put those together, please grab my Save the Marriage system. Simple way to get it is to go to savethemarriage.com, and you'll find several places on there to hit the link to get that, and you'll be ready to rock and roll and save your marriage. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.